welcome to Local Talk Wednesday on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in our multi-county listening area in central Iowa. I'm one of your hosts, Susan Franzen, here with my co-host, Paul Wearson, for our New Year's show.
Yes, hello, Susan, and welcome to our listeners, too, today. And when I think about our New Year's show, I feel nostalgia for New Year's past. Every year since we started, we've featured High Society Big Band playing for the Red Friars Dance at the Moose Lodge, 644 West 190th Street. And that's one event that will reappear this year bigger and better than ever. And we have a very important band member here in the studio with us, but before we speak with her, why don't you tell us what will follow?
For the past 2 years, we've featured the teenage country singer Hawk McIntyre and his father manager Jeremy, telling us how he became a musician and about his grown-up schedule. Last year, he was playing at the Lucky Pig in Ogden for New Year's, so I started there to look for him. When I looked for other places we featured, I was also met with unexpected results. What's happening at the Lucky Pig this New Year's Eve? Where's Hawk McIntyre? What happened to the Kelly Crossroads? One place that's sure to have dancing is the Lake Robbins Ballroom. It's a beautiful place to dance, but it's pretty hard to find. Who will go out there on New Year's Eve?
Well, that makes the Red Friars Dance with the High Society Band even more important than ever. So we're especially happy to welcome Kathy Klein to our studio. Hello, Kathy.
Hi.
Thank you for coming up from Huxley today, Kathy. Kathy Klein is the musical director for the High Society Big Band. So why don't you tell us why you're such an important member of High Society Big Band?
I'm Kathy Klein, and I'm one of the original members, or the only original member now, of the High Society Big Band.
Between 1993 and 1994, we had Larry Pettigill, John Bazard, and a couple other Iowa State professors came down to our community band and asked who would be interested in playing in a big band with them. They had started it a few years back, and they wanted some more players for the band, and so we started playing and practicing at Ballard Creek every other week.
Ballard Creek is a very nice assisted living facility in Huxley.
And to join this band, you'd need to audition.
You do have
you
to.
You can't just walk in off the street and say, I want to be part of this great project.
That's correct.
You have to have some musical ability.
Absolutely.
And as music director, what are your duties? What do you have to be responsible for?
Choosing the music that we play. Usually we ask the clientele what type of music they want. And like we play for weddings and anniversaries, and sometimes they want maybe 50s. So we have a little variety there, but mainly the 30s and 40s music.
Is the band membership fairly stable? Are there people who have been there years and years? Or?
A few that have been with us, you know, for a long time, but we do have some new people now.
Well, how long have you personally been in the band?
Since it started.
So you're a founder?
Yeah.
How often does the band play during the year?
On an average, maybe between one time a month, and the rest of the time we practice, you know, we practice at Ballard Creek in Huxley.
Wow. And tell us about the kind of music you like to play.
Oh, we play all kinds of music, mostly 20s, 30s, and 40s, but we do have some 50s and 60s. And, all kinds of big band sounds.
So if we talked about, Begin the Begin and songs like that. We talk about the 40s and 50s. And, you know, I was born in 1943, so when I was coming up, right before rock and roll took over the airwaves, I remember listening to Sinatra, Tony Bennett, all kinds of novelty tunes, Spike Jones Band, and, of course, Count Basie and all the great bands. In fact, I was honored to I was in New York, and I went to the Rainbow Room at NBC. And there was, it was wonderful. Duke Ellington and his orchestra live.
Wow. We play some Duke Ellington music too, yeah.
Yeah, I bet you do, because, you know, these people produce all kinds of great standard songs that are just part of the American genre. And when you play that, you must have an audience that really responds to that sort of thing.
We do. We do. They like that type of music. Yeah.
And so you're talking about people my age and younger, and maybe people discovering this for the first time. If you have this dance out there at the Moose Lodge, and what sort of profile do you think of when you think of the audience out there? There's a wide range of ages probably that come to that dance.
Yes, we do. Yeah, we encourage that.
And you have young people discovering this music and older people to whom it brings back their youth and their memories and all the things that were significant events in their life, like the prom and growing up, and they get back in touch with that. If someone had to say, Kathy, what's your favorite song from the playing list that you generally work with, what would it be? Is that going to tie you down to a real tough choice?
It is, because I love all the music that we play. The one that's requested, of course, we play most of the time, is In the Mood.
Oh, yeah, Glenn Miller.
That's right, Glenn Miller.
Glenn Miller from Clarinda, Iowa, who died in a plane crash during the war. Is there a theme song for your band? Is there a band, a song you always open with?
Well, most of the time we do start out with Leapfrog.
Leapfrog, really?
Mm-hmm.
If I heard that, I'd probably know it from, it doesn't ring a bell with me right now, but if I heard that song, I could identify that as something I've heard many times growing up, probably.
Yes, we have it on our CD.
I think this is the time to play Leapfrog.
Oh, let's do that, yes, so I can hear it.
And?
I'd sure like to hear Leapfrog, because I can't place it in my mind, but I'd love to hear it, and I know if I did hear it, it would ring a bell. But now, when it comes to managing this band and making sure that things are all, done effectively all year, does that fall to you totally, or is there someone helping you out with all that administrative stuff?
Oh, yeah. We have John Giroux, and Tammy Kaufman is the president of our...
So you're not acting alone?
Right. Oh, yeah. I have a lot of helpers.
Now, the Red Friars Dance, tell us about that. What happens at the Red Friars Dance on New Year's Eve?
Well, it starts at 7:30, and they'll have some hors d'oeuvres, and then there's also a dinner after that. And the dinner starts at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock.
And then at 9 o'clock, that's when the dancing will start, from 9 to 12:30.
Now, is it possible for people to come just for the dancing and not for the dinner?
Yes, that's very possible. So you can come at 9 for the dance only. Mm-hmm.
What about reservations? Do people need to make reservations for the dinner, I assume?
Yes, we do need to make reservations for the dinner. And the reservations and questions can be Louis Bannett.
Okay.
He is with the Red Friars. And then you can send the checks to David Hoffman.
Yeah. Now, I think that in this circumstance, although people can get this information from the Sun, which I think is delivered to the mailboxes in Story County, I think we should give Louis's phone number, since people need to call him. Louis Bannett, 515-232-1122. That's 515-232-1122. And checks go to David Hoffman at 3820 Quebec Street, Ames, 50014.
But if you call Lou, he can tell you all that, too. That's right.
That's right. He can. So you don't have to remember anything. And Louis Bannett is in the phone book, I believe. So.
That's good. So they can call Louis, and they can get all the details, and might be a good idea to do that before you get too close to...
But the reservations for the dinner are required by December 28th, which is today.
So basically, today is the deadline for reservations for the dinner.
Right.
And I guess the issue is, if people only come to dance, there must be a different admission charge.
That's right. It's quite a bit less, and you don't have to have reservations. So if you wanted to go and you've missed the deadline for reservations for the dinner, you can still come and dance.
Well, now, tell us where 190th Street is. That may not mean there. How do we get there? Is it off Highway 69?
It's just beyond Ada Hayden, and it's on the left side, just like Ada Hayden.
Yeah, that's where the Oaks Golf Course used to be.
Oh, it was.
I think that's also the turnoff to the winery, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. It is.
So
yeah.
That building, there's a Moose Lodge, used to be a bowling alley, so it's a good-sized building.
And you beautiful can't dance floor.
Yeah, see, I just thought 190th Street might not resonate with everybody.
No.
But if you think of that old bowling alley on Highway 69, that's where it's going to be, and that's a big, commodious place where people can cut loose and dance.
Or if you have gone out to the Prairie Moon Winery and you know that route, why, that's another clue to where it is, because sometimes it's really hard to find things out.
Yeah, well, 69 is your guidepost, and if you drive north or south, you want to turn right there where the Prairie Wine, you know, the turnoff is. Do you have your playlist all settled for New Year's Eve?
We do.
And it's going to be a mixture of hits from the 30s, 40s, anything in the 50s?
Oh, yeah. 60s, all the way up to 60s, yeah.
And at the stroke of midnight, you play Auld Lang Syne.
Absolutely. And we also play it again. Well, we play it at 11 because that's when...
Oh, for East Coast. Yeah.
So they want to have two. We get to celebrate twice.
Well, that's right. I didn't realize you were live in the East Coast. No, that's wonderful. And, you know, there are certain institutions and things we expect on New Year's Eve. And having lived in Des Moines so many years, there used to be floor shows down there. The hotels would have a big event, and they would have floor shows, and always with big bands or, you know, groups of entertainers who fronted for or start or opened for Frank Sinatra and people like that. And one of the great groups was the Fall Guys at Diamond Lils in Des Moines. And Diamond Lils, you bought an annual membership for $25. It was the first time I ever used a card to get into a door. You could insert this card. And all the seating was graduated, like amphitheater seating, like Las Vegas tables. And the Fall Guys, each one played four instruments. They did pantomime. They did skit humor, imitations and impressions. And it was a floor show. And now... so often you have rock bands, which are fine, but you can't talk. The sound just obliterates conversation. That's why I think what you're presenting here is more user-friendly to the audience, because they can talk, they can converse between breaks, and the music itself, you can carry on a conversation. And that's very valuable. Real loud music, to me, takes people out of the conversation mood and their inability to communicate and enjoy social life together at the table. And here, at that dinner, you can talk and still hear the music and everything.
And you can also get up and dance to it right there. You don't have to feel like you need to be someplace else to dance to it.
Well, I just figure that some people who didn't hear about the dinner or were just thinking of staying home on New Year's Eve and they're suddenly remembering our show today and said, Beulah, let's go dance. And so they walk in the door at whatever time and they dance to... oh, man, Woodchopper's Ball.
Exactly, Woodchopper's Ball, exactly.
Well, I have a question that occurred to me while I was thinking about this program, and that is just how many big bands are there in this area?
Now, you already have a good-sized group.
Yeah, we do.
And why is it important to have 15 members? And we've discussed in the past the efforts you make to get 15. Because these are not the same original 15, obviously.
That's right. Yeah, we've had a lot of changes.
Well, what's your instrumentation? You have trombones.
Yes. Right?
You have trumpets.
Yes.
You have a good sax section. You have to have a good sax.
Exactly.
Clarinets.
Well, we just have one.
And you have a percussion session.
Yes.
What am I leaving out? Piano, yeah, piano, keyboard.
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 Oh, you have a new piano player, right?
Yes, we do. Scott Keys is our new pianist for our band.
Oh, really?
And in South Story County, I'm sure everybody listening knows who Scott Keys is, but why don't you tell who he is and what his significance is for the big band?
Oh, he was the band director at Ballard. Huh? And he was the director of the community band. Yes, that's how everything got started from... Well, he retired this year and has agreed to be our pianist for our band.
Well, actually, though, you bring up something, another aspect of these local bands, and that is the opportunity for the musicians to continue to perform.
Yeah.
And one of the things that intrigued me when we did a retrospective on Scott Keys last year to honor him at his retirement, what I realized was... the interconnection between the bands. How did the High Society Big Band grow out of that?
Yeah, we had three Iowa State professors that come down to the community band and ask a few members if they'd like to join the High Society Big Band. They had the music, and so we all got together, and that's how High Society Big Band started. And
that's where they named it the High Society Band, too.
One of those was John Bassert, who is a real favorite of ours at KHOI because he has a weekly Dixieland show. And he then formed the Dixie Slicks. Now, is he still in the big band?
Not the big band, but the Dixie Slicks, yes. He's our drummer for the Dixie Slicks band.
Let's take a little break from the High Society Big Band and listen to a recording of the Dixie Slicks as recorded by John Bassert.
of love, baby. That's the only thing I plenty have, baby. A scheme a while, dream a while.
Have heard the very first recording of the Dixie Slicks ever.
Right.
And this is local music performed right here in central Iowa. And one of the things that the High Society Big Band, and is it also for the Dixie Slicks?
Yes, it's the Bowler Creek Community Center.
I was familiar with that place because I had an interview with Mildred Brendelin when she was 102. There. A wonderful interview. She had a sense of humor. She had great stories, and I really treasured that memory. I asked if she was part of the audience because sometimes the residents come to listen to the rehearsals.
Yes, they do.
A different way to play at a nursing home.
That's right.
You can come and listen to a 15-piece big band or the Dixie Slicks is now up to 9, is that right?
8 pieces, 8 instruments with a singer. Yes, that makes 9.
Crossover in your musicians between the High Society Big Band and Dixie Slicks?
We do have a few, yeah, we do. Maybe 3 or 4 members that are in the Dixie Slicks, yeah. We play some the assisted living places, and we play the hospital there in Nevada.
Now, you say we. Are you in the Dixie Slicks?
Yes, I am. Yes.
Okay. So you're the authority on all of these bands because I know that you are half of the K&L duo.
Yes, I am.
And what's...
I'm the K and L is Larry Pettigal from Ames.
Why did you start that?
Well, my mom was in a nursing home and I wanted her to get involved. And so that's one way I got her to come down and listen to the music, and then Larry's mom was at the nursing home also, and so we started playing, and now last year we had over 100 performances, so branched out, and we love playing for the...
So do you play about the same type of music for them?
Yes, we do, mm-hmm. And that's their era, you know, they really get involved, they get to sing along with us. And
well, I've heard that even Alzheimer's patients... Music is a way to reach them.
If you play
something from their era, that has a response to them.
As a matter of fact,
music is the international language.
It is. It brings everyone together. Yeah.
That's why so many touring groups can be in foreign countries and the language barrier isn't there because the music is universal. And it's a sound that everyone can relate to and it communicates the same thing, much like a smile is universal, you know.
Absolutely.
So you could tour Europe. Have you ever thought about that?
No, I haven't.
All we need is the financing, a sugar daddy of some kind.
Well, we're just happy that you can tour Story County. Do you ever go out of the county?
We go as far with our K&L as Jefferson.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we do have We go, you know, within maybe...
our listening area.
Yeah, there you go, your listening area. Absolutely, absolutely.
Well, outside the KHOI listening area, the world just drops off. So you're really playing in the world.
Yeah.
Well, you're having fun, aren't you, Kathy?
Oh,
that's
I
the bottom line.
I
and all the people with you are having fun. And they're playing music that resonates with your audience. And the old dances are done that were popular then, too. You'll see a lot of people doing all those dances from that era. You know, nothing ever dies in our culture. Whatever we make is permanent in some way and always reemerges. And a lot of people who are people who've written rock music and very modern music all say they were inspired by this, Duke Ellington or one of these people who were great creators.
This is KHOI Community Radio, Story City Ames, hosted by Paul Wearson and Susan Franson. We've been talking with Kathy Klein, musical director of the High Society Big Band, which will be the featured band for the Red Friars Dance at the Moose Lodge on Highway 69, just north of Ada Hayden Park in Ames. This is the first stop on our tour of what is available in the area for New Year's parties. When we returned to some of our favorite spots throughout the county, we found that they had changed. The biggest change was at Kelly Crossroads Tavern on Country Road, E57, about 5 miles south of Ames. For the last 2 years, they have offered shuttle service to their customers coming there on New Year's Eve. Not this year. They've gone out of business. Then we looked up the teenage singer-songwriter Hawk McIntyre, whose career we followed in 2015 and 2016. His website for 2017 does not even list any events over the holidays this year. Then we turned to the Lucky Pig Pub and Grill in Ogden, where Hawk played last New Year's Eve. I knew things had changed when I read the announcement for a champagne supper with karaoke for entertainment. When I asked at the pub what was going on, they said that most of the bands they'd booked in the past were either busy or taking the night off. So, in search of dancing, I looked up Lake Robbins Ballroom. Now that's a place that looks like it should house a fabulous New Year's party with lots of dancing. Its address is Woodward, but it's out in the middle of a cornfield. Lake Robbins Ballroom usually has country western bands or rock and roll on Saturday nights. So, for New Year's, which is Saturday, they've booked a well-known country band, the Hebrons, with an equally noted singer, Crystal Blue. Since New Year's is a time for nostalgia, we'd like to introduce the Saturday night dancers to the past of the Lake Robbins Ballroom. If you've been there before, you may have been curious about the old posters on the walls. If you like the atmosphere, you may be wondering about what goes into making it. Paul is also interested in how the owners of the ballroom can go on providing hospitality and a place to dance for decades to come.
This is Local Talk, KHOI Radio, Community Radio, Ames, Story City and surrounding area, and you're on a road trip to Lake Robbins, recorded by Susan Franson and me, Paul Wearson. And we've been talking with Lynn Paschal Wilkinson about the origins of the ballroom, its history up to the present. Our next section has to do with the future of big band music and ballrooms. And, well, is this the end of an era? Or are there ways to bring coming generations to the pleasure of ballroom dancing in the atmosphere of the dance halls? How often are you open here?
Just the weekends. Mostly Saturday, always Sundays, and always Saturdays unless I have a wedding, then I'm closed to a private wedding or party.
Well, you probably have some private events book, too, don't
yeah.
you? I would say this would be a great place to have a wedding reception.
Yeah, I do quite a few
class
weddings.
Reunion.
Yeah.
Prom. It's already decorated.
Yeah, yeah.
The main thing is, you know, when you look at the ceiling, there are all these chains of lights, and there's a great big sort of centerpiece out here to dance under, and just a wonderful arrangement of what we would think of as Christmas tree lights, but they are arranged so that they really accent the cross beams and the define the dance floor. And then we have the little globes that are different colors, and it's just a piece of Americana. And I think it's so marvelous that you have kept this going, because the issue always is, at what point is the line broken, you know?
Yeah.
And so this dates back to the 20s. And it's so wonderful that someone... I regard you as young, see? It's just a marvelous, almost providence that you've come, stepped up to do this and that you haven't tired of it. Well, the people, isn't that what
yeah,
keeps you coming
Yeah, and the people
back?
Are really wonderful. I mean, and if people would come out on Sunday night, the big band is my favorite.
Yeah.
And if the younger generation would come out and capture that magic that they have, I mean, they don't have to drink to dance. And I mean, you know, we sell drinks, but if I'd live off the bars, I'd be dead. I'd be broke.
You serve food, too.
And we serve food. And nothing spectacular, but just good home-cooked food and yeah. stuff. And
well, that's now on Sunday night. What's the crowd that comes? Describe the folks who...
They're the older, retired. Most of them are retired. Now, we will see some young people that mm-hmm. like ballroom, but it's mostly the older ones, and anywhere from 60 up to... I mean, we got people almost turning 100. I mean, we've had 100-year-old people in here. And
and they all have that lilt of the step, and they do the dip and all
yeah.
that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, actually, we were supposed to meet Howard Hammond here. I bet yeah. he must be a regular, is he?
Yes, he is. And he is really a promoter, and he's a single gentleman, so he goes, and there's a couple of them that if there's some single ladies come, they're very nice, polite gentlemen, and mm-hmm. ask them to dance. So you can pretty much get some dancing done. You're not going to sit here all night and watch everybody else dance. And they make sure everybody gets to dance. And they're just a nice group of people. Very loyal and very supportive.
So you're open on weekends, Saturday night also.
Yes, and we do rock and roll and country western if we're not doing a private
well,
party.
They would be big draws too, right along with big band,
yeah.
especially country and western.
Yeah. Well, now we're not like a drinking bar, so to speak. I mean, you can come out and drink, and I have some bands that might pull more drinkers, like the Pony Express. You know, you'll see more drinking done there. But most of all, most of dancers don't really drink that much. They're out here to dance. So what we're selling is dancing. We're not selling the drink and the food so much.
I bet that's a real separator.
It is.
If you drink, dancing becomes dangerous. That's probably a self-defined line.
And
here.
There's a lot of good bands out there, and some of the bands don't realize it, but you can be a very good band, but not a dance band, but a drinking band. And so it's the way, you know, and the dancers are very critical of their bands. And so, you know, we don't hire every country western band that comes along, because if they can't keep the rhythm or the beat right, or, you know, if they fluctuate too much or something, they're not a dance band.
So you have these are connoisseurs
yeah.
of bands,
yeah.
and you got to be careful because
yeah.
they have to meet certain standards.
Yeah. In the fall and winter, we get a lot of college kids, high school kids. This is about the only place they can come in and dance. You know, they're not allowed in most bars or
that's right.
most places.
Yeah.
And so we can allow them to come in because we serve food and our rules.
So the parents of people who are in their teens around here,
yeah.
they wouldn't bat an eye if their kids were dancing at Lake Robbins.
No, and when parents called, when I had a set of parents call me, they said, we just found out our daughter, she's 16, was out to your place. And you serve beer and stuff. And I said, yes, we do. And I said, and I don't blame you. I'd be calling, too, if that was my daughter. I said, we'd be more than, I mean, we'd welcome you to come out and check us out. And I said, I know exactly what table she was sitting at. Because I said, you know, we knew they were young.
Yeah.
They didn't even try to get a beer. They didn't want a beer. They just wanted to dance. I said, but as parents, I would come and check the place out myself.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Did they?
I don't know if they ever did or not.
Well, you must have been so convincing they didn't find it necessary.
Well, maybe. I don't know. But I understand where they're coming from, because I would be concerned if I knew my daughter was getting into a place that served alcohol. And you know, and I'm not saying that someone hasn't slipped a minor a drink or something, yeah. you know, and we try real hard to watch that, but mm-hmm. we really don't have a lot of issues with it. More with weddings or benefits or something like that. But our normal dances, the kids just want to dance.
See Des Moines people up here?
Yeah, Ames, Newton, Nevada, Marshalltown, Fort Dodge, Jefferson, you know, Greenfield, Story City. I've got a couple that's north of Story City, real regulars every Sunday night.
Really?
And their car is in the garage. And so when the weather started getting bad, they would just get in their car and drive out. Now, you know, not listening to the news. So I finally got their phone number, and so I call them if we're going to. They came down one time, we canceled. They weren't so bad up there, but down here it was. And we canceled, and I said, you don't need to be out in that, you know.
You know, I'm thinking of the CBS News, and they always end with a segment that's from the heart, you know. Steve Hart, I think, is a reporter, and he's taken over the role of Charles Kuralt on the road, you know. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking this would be a great location for CBS News to do an on-the-road segment because it's such a piece of Americana, and it's so untouched and so true and so vintage that it would, to a producer in New York City, it would look like the best find around. Well, I'm just thinking of the millions of shoes that have shuffled across this floor, and it's just one of those things that crosses so many different eras of our history. The 30s, World War II, the 50s, all the changes up to the 21st century, and you're still here, all lit up, and it's still a place where people can
but
come.
But ballroom right now is really struggling because we're losing those people, so we're that's why I want to get into the exercising bit, hopefully that people will want to come out and exercise. And and we're talking about trying to do a Friday night just as a supper night to give more exposure so maybe people get comfortable, they'll come back and dance.
Yeah, what I would do is exactly that, attack it from the standpoint of food and having an event here. And then the things that augur for you are the, number one, we were talking about this too with the folks from the band, the number of kids, teenagers in Iowa who play in jazz bands.
Yes.
And they are accumulating an interest in this kind of music that's apart from just guitar, well, the rock set up, you know.
Right.
And so basically you have that, and then Dancing with the Stars, even though people may not try to emulate that, the idea of dancing is there, and there have to be people who still make a living doing ballroom
teaching,
dancing instruction.
They say that the dance classes just really boomed after that started.
And well, I think that Remember Arthur Murray? They taught people to dance.
Yeah.
The Arthur Murray Studio.
Yeah.
There used to be one on Hickman Road, I remember.
Yeah, there's
for
two
years.
Or three dance studios in Des Moines still.
And I just think that, one thing they could do is come out here on graduation night.
Yeah.
And meld with the crowd.
Yeah.
And just have them, hey.
Yeah.
These are our newest ballroom dancers.
And the Des Moines Dance Studio, maybe two or three times a year, they'll bring their class out and they'll put on a demo, like during break time, and demonstrate, which is fun. And Mad Hat came out and did a competition one time, and that was fun to watch and stuff.
But then you have the wedding receptions, the proms, and those special occasion things. That's going to help the scene. I'm just looking for things that will sustain this into the coming years, you know.
Yeah, Pony Express comes out every... I don't know if you know much about Pony Express, but they do their annual dance out here, and it's always Easter weekend.
Oh, with Easter suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
well,
and I think over 35
Rolf Carlson,
years, they
He's,
have raised over $9 million for that.
I would say there are very few surviving ballrooms in Iowa.
I'm the only one that is doing ballroom dancing every week.
That's right. Huh?
Surf Ballroom does it six times a year.
Well, and I know the Val Air Ballroom in West Des Moines, that's a different venue now. There's a lot more Latin American music.
Yeah,
and all
they
that
don't
stuff.
Even do ballroom. Yeah. They were on their anniversary doing it one night a year, but I don't even know if they're doing that anymore.
Well, we talked a little bit about this with the folks we interviewed from the High Society Big Band, and then we're talking about the Dancing with the Stars show might create a revival of this interest in ballroom dancing.
And I think it has caused an interest, but that is so flamboyant. You know, that is so, it almost intimidates a lot of people.
Well, they're very good.
Yeah, well, and it's just like, I can't do that, you know, so they don't even try. We're trying to get connected with, I was trying to get healthy for life. Iowa wants to be one of the top healthiest. Yeah. Well, you know, they've got marathons for running and walking and bicycling and stuff. Well, dancing is one of the best exercises. And it's ballroom dancing that is supposed to be the best.
How about reviving the dance marathon from
the
20s?
That's what we're trying
to do. Put the placards on the back and see who drops.
and that's what, you know, I've been checking into trying to get connected with that. And I think that's what we have to do is have a marathon. And expose us, and if people, I mean, a lot of people don't want to go to the gym, a lot of people can't ride bicycles, and I don't want to jog, I can't, I'm too old to jog. So dancing, you're out there having fun, you don't even realize. And then I had a lady, she put a pedometer on Sunday night, and she danced almost every dance, and she'd go 5 miles a night.
5 miles.
And she says, I have fun every step of the way.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio, where we explore the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. We've been your hosts, Susan Franson and Paul Wearson. People we spoke with were Kathy Klein, musical director of the High Society Big Band, John Bassert of Dixie Slicks, and Lynn Wilkinson, owner-manager of Lake Robbins Ballroom. Before we leave Lake Robbins, we need to make an announcement for anybody who is tuning in late. The Saturday Dance, which is the traditional night for country western, will have an outstanding group, the Hebrons, with Crystal Blue. I'm sure that you'd find a warm welcome and lots of good dancers on Saturday night, New Year's Eve, at the Lake Robbins Ballroom in the middle of the cornfields. Go online, www.lakerobbins.com. That's www.lakerobbins.com. For directions and pictures and ticket prices and what you get with your tickets, www.lakerobbins.com. And there you will get the directions and pictures and ticket prices and what's included.
Local Talk will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. today. You can listen to today's Local Talk show and any of our past Local Talk shows online at our website, khoifm.org. Thanks to Ron Carson for taking care of the technical details of these posts with information about our guests, along with relevant links to today's stories. And you can like us on Facebook, too, and get updates on all of our show postings in your news feed.
Local Talk was engineered by Evan Taylor. Our theme song is Backtrackin' by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, Ballad of Kate Shelley. Other music you heard included the High Society Big Band recording that they put out several years ago, and their new recording, which you can buy only if you go to their concerts, is Singin' and Swingin', with 14 new songs, or new old songs. We did play one of those, Opus 1. The others were all from their first recording. An Auld Lang Syne by the Los Angeles Jazz Orchestra.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a show, and if you would like to join the team here as a reporter, contact us at 515-292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or you can contact us through our website, khoifm.org.
If you enjoy the show, tell your friends. Remember, your participation as listener and your generous contributions are what make KHOI possible. And with that note, I'd like to thank all of you who became members or renewed your memberships during our last fund drive. We exceeded our goal of $25,000, and we are well on our way to our next goal of $35,000. Actually, we've reached 30. So thanks so much, and welcome to our 50 new members. I guess 52 or 3 by this time. Thanks for listening, and
see you again on the radio.
KHOI is funded in part by the Ames Chamber of Commerce. Find job opportunities throughout Ames and Story County at workinames.com. Again, that's workinames.com.